This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Immigration, public assistance, and money. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Trump administration this weekend announced it wants to make it tougher for legal immigrants to get permanent residency. Receiving government cash assistance already counts against a green card application, but the administration wants non-cash programs such as subsidized medical care or food stamps to also weigh heavily against getting a card. Samantha Artiga is the director for the Disparities in Policy Project at the Kaiser Family Foundation. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Can you give us a sense of scale here? How many people might be affected if this does become the new rule?
As we know, based on past experience and based on recent research we've done with immigrant families today, that it is likely that the effects will extend much more broadly to immigrant families generally in the United States today, just due to increased fear and uncertainty that they're feeling. Many will just think that it's a safer decision to not enroll themselves or their children in programs like Medicaid and SNAP.
Let's pick one very important program here. What would you expect might happen for immigrants and Medicaid, which offers health care coverage to poor or disabled people?
If we look at, in particular, the potential effects on children, what we know today is that one in four children in the U.S. live in an immigrant family, and over 5 million children are enrolled in Medicaid and CHIP and have at least one non-citizen parent. We did an analysis that looked at potential disenrollment rates. An estimated 875,000 to 2 million citizen children with a non-citizen parent would lose Medicaid and CHIP coverage, and most of them would become uninsured.
Samantha Artiga, Kaiser Family Foundation, thank you.
Sure.
This proposed policy change still has to be crafted into a rule, which will face a public comment period. Staying with the topic of public assistance, Congress is working on the massive farm bill. The largest part of it, 80%, is the Supplemental Nutrition Program, or SNAP, what people call food stamps. Lawmakers put the nutrition program into the farm package, hoping to get both urban and rural support. KCUR's Peggy Lowe reports on where the money does flow.
Nick Johnson is working the checkout of this grocery store he manages in rural southwest Iowa.
$8.20.
Even though some manufacturing is coming back here, state and federal data show the area is still struggling with poverty, and farmers are seeing lower incomes. Use of federal food aid in Fremont County is up more than 150% since 2000.
There's a lot of farmers in this community. There's a lot of people that have their own businesses, so they try to do the best they can.
Since the late 1970s, congressional leaders placed food programs in the Farm Bill to attract votes from cities, where food stamp use was highest. But that's changed. Since 2012, SNAP participation is highest among households in rural areas and small towns, according to stats from the USDA.
It wasn't shocking or surprising when you think about the degree to which SNAP is related to people being poor.
Ellen Volinger is with the Food Research and Action Center, a nonprofit fighting poverty-related hunger. The center analyzed the data and found that 16% of households in rural areas use SNAP versus 13% in urban areas. Volinger says the elderly population is larger in rural areas, which is driving the increase.
There is a lot of need in rural America.
Johnson, the grocer, says about a fifth of his store's annual revenue comes from SNAP. And that's about average, says David Proctor of the Rural Grocery Initiative at Kansas State University. So those dollars aren't just about feeding the hungry. Proctor says the money is also
circulating through the town in a variety of ways that helps really the local economies in these small towns.
The other big winner when it comes to SNAP dollars USDA says it's big box stores like Walmart taking in more than half of the money set aside for SNAP. In Kansas City, I'm Peggy Lowe for Marketplace.
Over the past few months, you've been hearing Divided Decade, Marketplace's year-long project covering the Great Recession and its ongoing impact. As a nonprofit news organization, we believe this kind of in-depth reporting is critical to helping people understand the economic forces that affect us every day. Now, if you agree, please go to marketplace.org to become a Marketplace investor and keep reliable, independent journalism going strong. And thank you. U.S. crude oil is up 1.9% today, above 72 a barrel. This after members of OPEC met this weekend and decided not to increase the pumping, despite calls from President Trump to do so. Marketplace's Justin Ho has some context.
Back in 2016, the big oil-producing nations of OPEC agreed to a bunch of limits on oil production. Those limits pushed oil prices up. Richard Mallinson with Energy Aspects in London says OPEC members are looking to maximize the money they make off that oil.
They do want a reasonably high oil price, but they don't want one that's so high that it encourages people to switch from oil to alternatives, maybe to buy more efficient cars.
But after OPEC's 2016 agreement, the U.S. slapped new sanctions on Iran's oil exports. That was part of Trump's withdrawal from the nuclear deal with Iran. Analysts know these sanctions are going to take a lot of oil out of the market when they go into effect in November. Mallinson says OPEC members like Saudi Arabia will have to pick up that slack just to reach current global targets, let alone increase world supply.
Just on a practical front, there are increasing doubts that they have enough spare capacity to simply match a loss of that size.
Keeping limits the same and prices high might help oil-producing countries, but consumers are on the other side of that equation. President Trump's criticism of OPEC is focused on making gas cheaper at the pump. In New York, I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Once there was British Petroleum, now officially BP. The K in KFC was for Kentucky. Now Weight Watchers will become just WW as the firm moves beyond lowering body mass indexes to overall wellness, including partnering with a company that does an app to help people meditate. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.